Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. You know, from watching the news media, you would think the only thing happening at the UN General Assembly this week is the diplomatic footsie between President Obama and President Rouhani. But below the radar, something is taking place that's at least as important, arguably much more important, with millions of lives at stake, establishing the next phase of the so-called Millennium Development Goals, the drive to end extreme poverty. You know, I've often said, some of you heard it, that if the news media really focused on what was most important, the top headline would be the same every day. Tens of thousands of children died today from hunger-related causes. Most of those deaths were preventable. Stats from the UN and the World Bank reveal some very good news on this front. They say the number of people on Earth in extreme poverty, as defined by $1.25 a day of income, has been cut by more than half, from 52% of people on Earth in 1980 to 21% in 2010. But the current round of the UN Development Goals program ends in 2015, and they're working on the next mandate. So I'm very pleased to have with us now Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations, John Hendra. He's co-chair of the UN's Millennium Development Goals Task Force. Mr. Hendra, very nice of you to give us some time today with the session in high gear. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's a real pleasure, and I couldn't agree with you more that this is a really, really important story.
There were 8 original Millennium Development Goals to achieve by 2015, including the big one, which is eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. Eradicate. How close have we come?
Well, Brian, in terms of the goals overall, I think on 4 of the goals we're making some very good progress. As you said, cutting poverty in half. I think even you used the figure from 1980, but even if you use from the figure from 1990, it was 47% to 21% 20 years later. So that's a huge achievement. 700 million fewer people are living in conditions of extreme poverty in 2 years ago than were 20 years before that. Also, I think much greater increased access to safe water for literally billions of people. The 2.1 billion people have gained access to improved drinking water sources. Also, importantly, moving close to achieve gender parity in primary education, which is, you know, probably the single most important investment in development is in girls' education, and also improving the lives of slum dwellers. So I think there's a number of the goals. There's been very good progress. At the same time, I think there's some really critical goals that we still have a long way to go. And I would say particularly in bringing down the still very high maternal mortality ratio. Many, if not, you know, the overwhelming majority of maternal deaths are preventable. But progress in this area is falling short, and we really need to accelerate in the just over 825 days left until we have the deadline of the end of 2015.
I remember being shocked as I was first becoming a journalist at the UNICEF number that 20,000 children died each day from hunger-related causes. That's why I said it should really be the top headline every day. What's a bigger story than that? Imagine if an attack or an accident killed 20,000 children. We would turn ourselves inside out looking for the root causes to prevent a repeat. But this systemic daily mass death of children is hardly even known in the Western world. But what I want to ask you is, what's the number today? Because that was a couple of decades ago when I saw 20,000 a day. Is it much less than that?
It's less than that, but still there are too many child deaths. I think there's been some good progress, but that's starting to stabilize in terms of being harder to drive forward. But also in terms of the importance of primary education as well. There's also stalled progress there too. So I think really in terms of bringing down infant mortality and really on the other side, the flip side, really investing in children and children's education, we still have a long way to go.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention two of the other particular 2015 development goals that are designed to contribute to the eradication of extreme poverty, and they are universal primary education, which you just mentioned, and promoting gender equality, which I know is an area that you do much of your work on. So how are you measuring progress on promoting gender equality?
Well, in terms of the current MDGs and gender equality, it's really measured in terms of moving to parity between girls and boys in primary education and secondary education. There are also several targets as well in terms of the percentage of women in parliaments, also in terms of percentage in the workforce. The problem, though, is and we're doing well in terms of moving towards parity in terms of education for girls to boys, but the challenge, Brian, is really not the quantifiable targets, it's really quality. And I think the MDGs have done a huge amount to galvanize the world around these shared global goals, and we've seen some very important progress. But they do have some challenges that need to be fixed in terms of the next agenda, and particularly on quality. I think in terms of gender equality as well, I think the goal is important, but it doesn't really get to the heart of what's really, really important in terms of changing and addressing some of the structural barriers, discriminatory practices. There's no focus on any violence against women and girls, which is frankly the largest human rights violation in the world. One of three women around the world will face some kind of violence during their lifetimes. It doesn't focus on the issue of unpaid care work, but most importantly, it doesn't look at how to transform power relations and some of the really structural impediments, the discriminatory practices that really, really hold women back, and then frankly hold back achievement and success across the goals. Because a lot of research that shows that investing in gender equality, women's rights, the empowerment of women really helps to achieve all the goals, because it has a really catalytic impact.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, the stations of New York Public Radio and New Jersey Public Radio, as we talk with a very special guest, Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations, John Hendra, co-chair of the UN's Millennium Development Goals Task Force, on the topic of nothing less than eradicating extreme poverty in the world, which the UN was aiming at by 2015. Not going to get there, but now they're working this week at the UN to try to come up with the next set of specific goals toward that end. Anybody want to call in on this, on the central relationship between gender equality, especially between boys and girls in education around the world, to the effort to end extreme poverty, or anything else you want to say or ask the Assistant Secretary General? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The anti-poverty icon Jeffrey Sachs had an op-ed in the New York Times this week, I'm sure you saw it, arguing that market forces are one of the keys to ending poverty. And I think so much of the global reduction of poverty in our lifetimes has come from economic growth in China and elsewhere in Asia. That's really market growth. How would you measure that and incorporate its importance into what the UN is doing?
I think there's no question a focus on growth is absolutely fundamental in terms of ending extreme poverty. I think the challenge that we have, and I think as you said, Brian, is that although we've really been able to cut poverty in half, a lot of that has come from China and India. So really, a lesson of the MDGs is you need to look beyond the aggregate. You need to look beyond the total within a country, because often there are very large areas of disparity, inequality. But clearly, it's very important to look at growth, and I would argue particularly inclusive growth. I think we've part of this planning for the next agenda has been to do consultations in 88 countries around the world and 11 global consultations. And these consultations are throwing up a number of things. And one is that growth is not always reduce poverty, and also that there's really a huge concern everywhere with growing inequalities. So it's extremely important to look at an inclusive growth, a growth strategy that really generates jobs, but also a growth strategy that really does look at some of the driving inequalities that are really, really of concern to people around the world.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Olivia in the Bronx. Olivia, you're on WNYC with the Assistant Secretary General of the UN. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering about his thoughts on population control. Control is probably the wrong word, but I remember back in the 70s there was a group that was very interested in trying to prevent a lot of problems that they foresaw due to the expanding population and the relationship between that and poverty and a lot of the resource deprivation going on.
Is that related? Does that come up in the UN Millennium Goals? Population?
Well, it certainly does in terms of the broader context. I think the demographic situation is very important. In fact, many countries that have a very young population are subject often to what's called a democratic dividend, which means having a young dynamic population
can really add a lot of jobs.
A demographic
dividend, not democratic, right? A demographic dividend?
Demographic dividend, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is extremely important to look at the issue of population dynamics. At the same time, I think, you know, there's a huge amount of evidence that we have so much wealth and resources in the world to really, you know, be able to feed and clothe and give meaningful educations and opportunities to so many people around the world. So I think it's really important to address the issue of population and population growth in a rights-based way, and really to look at issues of education, sexual and reproductive health and rights, sexual education, but also to look at, you know, how to make sort of the large youth as an economic potential.
Mark in Plainfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Good. I just called in because I was really amazed by what you all are talking about. I'm teaching a class this afternoon in sacred songs and social justice, and the topic of the day is women's suffrage movement and the songs that help propel the movement. But the idea that you guys are just talking about eliminating world poverty by addressing both male and female education, boys and girls both getting educated, and gender parity and workforce and economic, that it seems to be all connected to what I'm going to be teaching. And it's just less than 100 years ago that, you know, women got the right to vote in this country, the 19th Amendment, and it seems like very similar goals and objectives were being looked at then and now.
Interesting. Mark, thank you very much, and good luck with that class. And I wonder, John Hendra, if the biggest barrier to boys and girls being educated equally is ideological, such as in the case of the Taliban that we're all familiar with, where they're literally willing to go to war at the village level to stop girls from learning, or if it's more subtle than that.
I think it's certainly there are a number of barriers. I think it is certainly ideological, like the Taliban, and I think that's a deliberate policy to exclude girls from education and so all forms of, frankly, of opportunity. In several countries, it's a matter of not having enough access, but also in terms of again lack of opportunities. Often, child marriage, girls who are often due to no fault of their own or the choice of their own, really putting it into early marriages because of tradition and cultural mores. So it's really important to see there should be no cultural mores that hold back giving a girl anywhere in the world an opportunity, just like there can be no justification for violence against women and girls. So I think it's really important to be able to enhance the access, and that's what being the big emphasis of the goal of the current MDG on in primary education. And, you know, I've seen it for myself. I was the UN resident coordinator, which is the senior UN official at the field level in both Vietnam and Tanzania. In Tanzania, I saw a huge change in terms of so many more girls in school. But then the problem becomes there's one teacher for 80 children, there's not enough books, and really it's all about the quality of the educational outcome. But I think it's really important to address these the issues of access, to enhance the access, to really address issues of discriminatory practices and behaviors, but also to really put much more focus now going forward in the new agenda on issues of quality and how do we really link these goals up across the framework, because, you know, it's a very complicated world that we live in now, and we really need much more joined up approaches to really get much more accelerated development progress.
Carol in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Brian, thank you for taking my call, and it's an honor to speak with you and your guest. A couple of years ago, I heard on a TV special by Anderson Cooper about a cheaply made product they were producing called Plumpy Nut, and it was being distributed throughout poor countries in the world, and it was supposed to make serious dent in the world hunger problem. And I've always wondered whatever happened with that program and if it was any kind of a success.
It's a great question. And there are a number of efforts to distribute basic foodstuffs or even hydration salts that are aimed at making really, really large dents on the starvation deaths problem. John Hendra, what about that? I know a guy who did a highly publicized walk through several countries in Africa handing out what they call hydration or dehydration salts. You must know what I'm talking about, because so many kids die actually from diarrhea that leaves them all dehydrated. And for whatever reason, they don't have the proper fluids to help them survive those moments. So are those kinds of distributive efforts key to ending extreme poverty and death from extreme poverty among children?
Absolutely. As you say, two leading causes of death for children are diarrhea and TB. And we've seen a huge drop in TB and a huge change by having this very simple package of iodine salts and other things available. So I think the broader point is more important, is really how to take innovation, simple technology, to really have a much greater impact. There's a huge number of events this week. I was at one in which a woman from Kenya was showing this water pump in terms of taking really really polluted water and then putting through a very very simple filtration system. We've also heard about the water straw. So it's really important in the use of cell phones, in terms of banking, also in terms of violence against women, in terms of saying parts of a city that are unsafe. So it's really important to look at ICT, to look at simple technologies, which can have a huge, huge impact. And that's why I think it's extremely important that the next agenda, like this one, but even more so, should involve the civil society, the private sector, and really have, and there's a real shift, I think, also in terms of seeing that this is not an issue of philanthropy, but, you know, development makes sense, and it's good business also. So I think it's extremely important. It's everyone's responsibility, but I think we're really at the tip of the iceberg of some really innovative, simple, sustainable, and really effective technologies. And if we can unleash more of the creative force of the private sector on thinking through some of these things, I think there's huge potential.
So as we run out of time for this conversation, and I wish you luck with the task force working on the next round of Millennium Development Goals, or whatever they're going to be called after the current round expires in 2015. Have you seen the new book by Nina Monk that's critical of some of Jeffrey Sachs' work in Africa? We're going to have her on the show on Monday. And that argues beyond Sachs that big think global anti-poverty programs don't really work. The Western effort to try to eradicate poverty, or international effort to try to end world poverty, doesn't work at that level, because poverty that's entrenched in parts of Africa and elsewhere is just too complicated for Western or international development organizations to swoop in and fix. So, yes, lots of relief efforts to help people get through is fine. But this kind of thing that's big think, that's from 30,000 feet, is throwing away a lot of money. Have you seen that critique yet?
Yes, I have. And 30,000 feet is a long way down, and I couldn't agree more. It doesn't work. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that effective development is that which is nationally owned, nationally driven, that really looks at the country context. In Tanzania, they have a national strategy for poverty reduction and growth, and they've incorporated the MDGs, but it's called Mkukuta, which is Swahili, and they've really made it their own strategy. They're not global goals; they're their goals, and it's really around the context in that country. The same thing happened in also in Vietnam. So it's really important that successful development is not a cookie cutter approach. Certainly not from 30,000 feet. It's not a big think project. It can't be parachuted in. And if it is, it won't be successful or sustainable. It has to be nationally owned, nationally driven. It needs to be debated in national parliaments. It needs to be open in terms of civil society engagement. Government resources need to be committed. And I think that's a big thing about the next agenda. The next agenda will be a universal one. It will not be a north-south one. It will not be about a series of goals that the North is helping to support the South achieve. It'll be a universal agenda with sustainable development at its heart. So it's really important. It's going to be about universal common problems like gender inequality and how can we really address them, but address them in a way that works. And that way it has to be driven in national dialogues in countries and societies around the world.
Well, good luck with it. Again, I think this is probably the most important thing taking place at the UN General Assembly this week, not the the games of political footsie between Presidents Obama and Rouhani. We're talking about thousands of children dying every day from extreme poverty-related causes, and the UN Millennium Development Goals Task Force attempt to wipe out that problem. What could be more important or newsworthy than that? So we thank Assistant Secretary General John Hendra, co-chair of the UN's Millennium Development Goals Task Force, working now on the next round of goals and ways to implement them that will kick in after 2015. Thank you so much.
Brian, thanks so much for your time, and thanks also to all of your listeners. And thank you for making this a story, because it really needs to be made a story much more often.
You bet. Thank you.